Lord, I just want to raise this time up to you. I know that there are a number of things that you are saying to us, you have been saying to us, and a place you're inviting us into with you, and I pray that you open our hearts and minds and understanding and even ignite our zeal for that place, Lord, tonight as we share your word and just I pray that you already been talking to us and me these last few weeks about the strength of your presence and that things that happen at the presence of the Lord. And we ask you to magnify your presence here, Lord, just in our midst, in our hearts, and in our spirits, and raise us up, Lord. I pray that as we talk about your word, both what is written and things that I feel you have been sending, Lord, cause them to ignite in us. So that we do just that, Lord. We march courageously after you. We hear what you are saying. We know that so much depends on what we do with what you say. So here we are, Lord. We invite you to kind of invade us tonight and to mightily use this time. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to both share some things that I've been hearing the last couple of weeks and a little bit of my own process as a result of that, probably, too. Because I feel very pressed by the Lord these days. I feel very pressed by Him. And it's really the things that He's pressing me into, I don't think are really my style. But I don't know what else to do about it, but go for it, you know. I actually sent some things to Ted this week and said, hey, you know, this is what's happening. What are you... You know, I think you ought to know this before I proceed, just to see where you're at, you know. And he talked to me a little bit about it this morning and had an interesting statement, because this is something the Lord has told me a number of times. He said, yeah, I think you should go for it. That was it. I said, well, that was really difficult. So let me just try to share. You know, the dream that I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, and the things that I feel that I was hearing about that, and the Lord calling us to prayer in a very particular way. I've been wrestling around with that in a number of ways. I feel like that calls for a fervency in prayer, you know, that we really get behind it and be fervent in prayer. And I realized, though I have prayed about that a number of times and asked the Lord a number of things about it, I haven't gotten that fervent. And so I was talking to the Lord about that, and I said, what's going on? I need to move into that place with you. What is happening here, you know? And I just confessed that, and then I sat there for a few minutes. And after that, I began to see this picture, this vision. I was standing on this height, standing on this high place that looked out over, I don't know, like the Lord's people. And we were all, there was a lot of us, and we were all kind of scurrying around, you know, busy, to and fro, and lots going on and all. And when I saw that, kind of compared to the things the Lord is talking about in terms of really encountering us, honestly, I had a feeling like my heart kind of sunk. I thought, oh man, Lord. And so I said to him, Lord, you have been at this for generations, and we are still turned away from you, going about our own business. I mean, that's I thought. So I said, you know, if that's the case, and we've been at this for all this time, how are my prayers going to make a difference? So I got, you know, I just had to present that to him, and I'll tell you what he said. You stand, see, actually we pray because that is the situation. You know, last week we were talking about what Hezekiah said to the folks that he gathered together, and many of them were leaders, you know. Don't be negligent, which is a complacent kind of place, a comfortable, complacent kind of place. And I have to tell you folks, I think it's hard to get us out of there. I think it's really kind of hard to get us out of there, you know. I think of myself as kind of awake in the Lord, you know, kind of awake. But I tell you, this last couple of weeks, I thought, man, Lord, you got to wake me up. I'm not even close to what you're talking about. But what he said was, you stand in the gap for your brothers and sisters. You pray for them boldly for the things that they cannot see. You pray as though they themselves could see and were opening their hearts to me, crying out for what they need. See, that need is there, but we're not aware of it, so we would not even think of asking. Intercessors pray for pray for the need, as though they were standing there themselves. You know. You see yourself and them as part of one body. And then he asked me a question. Do you have full authority to pray for any part of your body? My body? This was on Wednesday, and Friday and yesterday and even into this morning, I needed to pray for my body because that's where the attack was going on, which doesn't usually happen to me. But that struck me as kind of humorous. Yes, and I'm going to need to. Yes, I have full authority to do that, and I'm going to need to exercise it. So that was the question. And is that what I call all of you, one body? So, see, we're praying for our own body. Is what he was showing me there. That is the compassion and concern that you exercise, crying out for the rest of the body to know it is my body and retrieve their lives in me. Starting with this church and this valley and spreading widely. The Lord says, I easily think in global terms, child. It's no problem for him at all. I easily think in global terms, and you can join me there. The influence is to be a global one, just as I have said to you and sent word through others. I function in one-on-one small groups, and here's the Lord talking about this huge work and movement of his Spirit. So I've been wrestling with that a bit, and making some progress. I want to share a couple of other things that he showed me about the dream, about this invasion dream that I shared with you. Incidentally, I brought some copies with me tonight. I think that we're all going to need to hear these things together. And I realize that it gets a little complicated, you know, I mean, the dream and the scriptures and everything that goes with it. So I tried to write down some of what we've been saying, and I brought some copies tonight, both what was talked about last week and what we're talking about tonight. Okay, so I felt prompted to do that. So, but here's another statement that I heard about in relationship to the dream. The dream speaks especially of those who have put away their knowledge of me, have it stored in their heads. But it is not at hand or the vital thread of discernment they need in the face of invasion. It is a dead knowledge not touched by the presence and power of God, not aware of the proximity of my spirit with them, not enjoying my love or joining my zeal for my creation. The prayer is to awaken that stored away knowledge with the touch of my spirit, bringing all of it to life and vitality to produce union and empowering with me. It is what I told Ezekiel to speak to the dry bones. And he prompted me to read that passage and see that it's similar. You know, if we think of dryness as separated from the Lord, do we have a certain amount of that in our country? More than ever, probably. So I want to look with you at the first 14 verses of Ezekiel 37. It's just the first thing, the hand of the Lord came upon me. This is probably what's happening, folks. The hand of the Lord is coming upon us.
Sorry, Susan, what chapter is it?
37, Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Oh, I can relate to that. You know, because I think he's asking me, can this, you know, can I heal the land? Can I do the things that I say I'm going to do? Well, yes, you can, Lord, but there's a lot of dryness. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. He says that over and over again in his word, doesn't he? You shall know that I am the Lord, that he will be Lord, and we will be his people. Cover to cover, there is that phrase. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. From dryness to an exceedingly great army. That's what the Lord's talking about, I think. To bring us into that place. Now, we have a pastor who has talked about having an army, right? You think the Lord's hearing his prayer or what?
He instituted the prayer.
Hmm?
He instigated and instituted the prayer.
Right. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Well, that was really speaking to me, this, because that is the heal your land. That's the heal your land picture, isn't it? Bringing us from this complacent, scattered, not facing the Lord place into an exceedingly great army. Now that takes God, doesn't it? That takes the power of God to accomplish that. Our part is to believe Him. See, we look at this and say, we cannot do that, true. And we actually have to just move out of that territory altogether and not even think it depends on us, but believe Him and probably get kind of fervent about it. Somewhere along in here, I think, I talked to Michael, and he said that the Lord had been speaking to him about Psalm 68, which is a huge, huge statement of this very thing. I'm not going to read the psalm, but I'm telling you, it came to my rescue last night. I was having a lot of pain in my back for no reason that I knew of. Started a little bit on Friday and Saturday, and then last night when I was trying to look at these things, you know, it got to the point where it was really, really bothering me. And I was reminded of this psalm. And the first verse says, "Let God arise, let His enemies be scattered. Let those who hate Him flee before Him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God." At the presence of God. Well, there was this argument that there was really something wrong and I needed to do something about it, and it wasn't just an attack and I should take it seriously and all this stuff, you know. And I said, I don't receive that. I don't accept that. This is just all of a sudden I don't accept that. So I started praying this psalm, "Let God arise, let His enemies be scattered." All and those who hate Him, this activity hates God and wants to prevent whatever He's doing. So let those who hate Him flee before Him. By the time I got through, around verse 3, it was lifting. I said, "Aha! I knew it! I knew it!" And that continued. I wake up this morning, it's back, and no coming back, no new arguments, out of here. And I've been fine today. You know, that's the power of God's word when He's igniting it, when He's speaking it. So this was yesterday morning. You'll see that I'm coming along here. What I see this morning is that you, I'm talking to the Lord, you are more than ready and willing to pour out the part that is yours. You are committed to the outcomes you describe. We are the ones who are not seeing and believing that and fully expecting it to occur. There's a great shift from the perspective of trying to get you to do something into believing that it is your heart to do so and counting on that. And then I was reminded of an interaction with the Lord that I had years ago. I was at the vineyard up in Anaheim, you know, the original one. I used to go over on Sunday nights to be refreshed and in the worship time and stuff, you know. And this one night, I was standing there, and just, you know, how you can get kind of lost in worship, you don't even know who's there or care. And I was standing there with my hands raised, praising the Lord. And as I was standing there, I was reminded, I just found myself thinking of all of these kind of prayers that had been answered and how. And it went back for like a year or two. And I thought, you know, what? And then the Lord says to me, he asked me, what do all those prayers have in common? Well, they were for a huge array of things, you know. And so I wrestled around that for a while. I really kind of racked my brain and could not come up with anything in common. So I said, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what they have in common. I cannot figure that out. What do they have in common? And he said, I initiated them. And I reflected on that. And all the ones that he was lighting up, he had initiated. He had prompted. He had laid on my heart. He had moved me into praying and directed and guided and everything. And I thought, whoa. Changed my prayer life after that. You know, just when you learn to ask for direction. What do you want to do, Lord? How shall I pray? I think that is the case with this dream and the calling us to prayer. He initiated it. Well, that means there's something he wants to do, and he will answer it, right? I mean, if we believe that he initiated it, then he will answer it. But we will have to do our part, huh? So I realize that, you know, he has an agenda here. And he's probably been working on it for a while. And we're at this point now. And it proceeds to a fulfillment. So I said, if I take it seriously, that is you initiating this prayer focus because of the conditions you lit up in the dream, then what do I see? What am I getting here, Lord? And there were several things that he said. I want to read them to you. That I am watching what is happening to my children with considerable dismay. That I have let you know what needs to happen to turn it around. I have let you know your part in it as well as reminding you of mine, showing you my part and yours, both in the scriptures and by direct encounter that reflects my written word. What more would you need to believe me? I said, it's pretty thorough, Lord. Your conclusion must be that God has indicated a work he intends to do and drawn you into it with him, charging you to share that work with others. So I've begun to do that. I've begun to, I called up a couple of intercessor friends, sent them copies of things, and we'll be doing some more of that tomorrow morning. But here's my sense of where we are. There's been a lot of prayer that has come forth from this church, and it's birthed for a lot of purpose. And we have been preached to for a while about the very igniting that God is talking about here in us and in others, and that there's a longing on the pastor's heart for the exceedingly great army to stand up. I think that what the Lord is saying has a great significance to it. I don't think this is probably the only place he's saying it. But I think that, you see, when God initiates something like this, it can actually literally change the course of history and what will or will not happen in it. And I just tell you honestly, my sense is that if we do not take the Lord seriously and intervene fervently for our country, we have a whole huge round-the-mountain place to go where we will become less and less Christian and decline. You know, countries who let go of their standards and stuff decline. Throughout history, they have declined. They get to a very desperate state, and they cry out. We could cry out before, That's what he's saying. And I think probably nothing short of that is what the Lord is talking about. Here's your condition. This is the reality. There, we can't do anything about it. It is going to take the power and outpouring of the Spirit of God upon His people to turn us around. Because we're not successfully arguing with each other. All we're doing is polarizing one another. You know, we can argue with each other, but when the Lord shows up and encounters people in power, we are on our knees. We are on our knees. We are convicted. We are broken. And all the claptrap is cut through when that happens. That's what we need. And we need to let the Lord lay that compassion that He has for His people on us and join Him in that. That's what I'm hearing. And so, like I said, I prefer the quiet little areas I've usually functioned in, but I'm going to share these things, and go for it. We need to see what God will do. Actually, we need to know Him in that way anyway. You know, we need to let go of our efforts and depend on Him and watch Him pour out. I talked to a friend today who. She and her husband have been, you know, wrestling around with one of their kids and had a lot of struggles and stuff. And I had sent her. I actually had lunch with her and gave her a copy of some of these things. And she gave them to her son to read. I don't know. I mean, who knows what God will do? Who knows what He will do if we go for it? Okay, that's part two. Last meeting was part one. This is part two. There are probably other parts that we'll be hearing. Yeah, sure.
You're talking about decline. Do you mean the church or do you mean the nation?
Yes.
Because my personal thought is the nation's going to decline and decline and decline no matter mm-hmm. what we do until God comes. Mm-hmm. So I have a conflict with that.
Yeah, I wonder about that too. But I think he's saying if you humble yourselves and pray, that's most likely the church that's gonna respond in that way, you know. I'll heal the land.
Yeah, I think the whole nation will be restored.
So, I mean, we can ask him what he means by that, yeah. You know. And, see, these are exactly the kind of questions that I've been struggling with, so I'm glad you are. And you, I mean, I think you know, pray through that. Ask him what, you know, what the thing is. But see, I think that well, I don't, who knows? I mean, you know, it seems like there's so much persecution developing for the church. But on the other hand, in persecution the church grows. So, you know, it digs in much much deeper, like we have to do in trials sometimes. You know, I'd really like us to cry out before it comes to that. I think that's what the word is about.
You talked about this it's almost like the distance that has to be covered. It seems like, you know, there's something that we're moving toward. But you talked about the years and years and years that God has been working with His people. And,
yeah.
And you look at it and it's almost like we're nowhere near where we should be. Today I was out in the fields walking and I the Lord keeps bringing this to mind. This thing of just being a lot closer than the appearance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the little incident when the Lord sent the disciples out into across the Sea of Galilee, ushered them off, basically, shoot them out there, mm-hmm. and out Himself, comes later on to them. And there's a couple of different versions of the story, but in one of them it says that when He got into the boat, He came back to them and got into the boat immediately. They were where they wanted, where they were going.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and I just feel like, in a sense, you know, with that's where we are. It looks like, you know, all is lost. It looks like we're in miserable shape. It looks like we can't, in the period of a man's life, there's no way we can get to where we want to be. But all of that goes out the window when we're considering who we're dealing with here. Okay?
Right.
The Lord is able.
And that's the point.
to do a quick work.
Right.
And this thing about the army of the Lord, this is a time of war. Okay? This is something the Lord is speaking to me about also. But Satan and his angels were cast out of heaven. It was designated, and it's almost like the work of the angelic hosts that were still in alignment with the Father to do this work. Well, he ended up in the earth here, okay? And I really believe this, that it's going to be the sons of men that cast him out of the earth. Otherwise, that work could have been done by the Lord as soon as he was raised from the dead. I think it was reserved for the sons of God. And the thing is that the Lord overcame the enemy as a man. All right? We're going to enter into that victory. But I'm just impressed that it's a time of war, and there's going to be this moving by God in his people to make us able to do what's set before us. It looks like an impossible task, all right? But the Lord goes, the spirit of Caleb and Joshua goes, it's not impossible. We're well able. And I think that's what God is saying. You're going to go in, you're going to displace this enemy, and the earth is going to be yours for a possession.
Mm-hmm. You know? There's a scripture in Ephesians that's a little like that. This is in chapter 3. I'll read 9 and 10. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So, you know, maybe that's part of what the army does, you know. I'll share a vision with you that is about this, because I think that we can be near in proximity and far in understanding. You know, I was asking the Lord, kind of wrestling around with these things, asking him where I am actually. I mean, okay, where am I? You know, and I saw this picture of a path. It was light. The path was just full of light, you know. And I've seen that a number of times, but I didn't know that's what it was. I mean, I don't know. I've just seen it when I'm praying or whatever. But then I had a sense of walking on it, and I can't even describe what that was like. You know, it was so neat because the light just seemed to, you know, permeate everything. And a sense of you know, like the cloud of the Lord that went before the children of Israel, there was like this misty cloud kind of thing that just surrounded me, the spirit of God. And what he was saying is that's where you actually are. You don't always know it, but that's where you are. That is your place. That's where you are. And I had a sense of him saying, the only thing you strive for is to stay there. You know, that's what you strive for. Let me give you another picture too. I came into this place. I don't know. It was probably 10 days ago, where I was just, you know, pressing through a lot of stuff, got to this place where I felt like I had my ear against the Lord's chest, and I was going to stay there forever. You know, I just, and my heart was saying, I'm here, I'm settled here, and I'm never coming out. It was really neat. Well, 2 days later, I'm scattered around, you know, and I don't know what all happened, but I knew that I was more scattered than that. And so I said, okay, Lord, what happened? Where am I? How do I, you know, get out of here? And I saw the sheepfold. all surrounded, and I was in it, and I was not only in the sheepfold, but kind of here, in, you know, with the Lord's arms encircling me. And I said, well, why am I so scattered then? And he said, just turn around. I'm looking at all the stuff going on out there, all the uproar, all the activity, all the stuff. He said, just turn around. I thought, oh. And as soon as I did, it just started to quell. I got back, tucked in. Okay. See, we're not that far, but he's got to get a hold of us and show us that. Because we look at anything that moves. Anything that moves, man. You think about it. You know, you just look. Yeah. All right.